Didn't he kind of have to have this period of time of working for the...
Well, he had to work then, 7 years.
Yeah.
Yep, then Joseph had to work seven years. And then he ends up getting Leah. And he worked another seven to get Rachel. And so that's the guy that we're talking about here. That's Joseph's dad. Is the one we're talking about. Now, if you know anything about Jacob, what did he... He had a brother. And what was his brother's name?
Esau.
Esau was a hunter. Jacob was a mama's boy. And when Isaac, which would be his grandpa, when Isaac was on his last leg and he wanted to bless his boys before he died, it was Rebekah who told Jacob how to get the blessing from Isaac. And so what was different between the two boys is that Esau was very hairy. And so she went and put some goat skin or something on Jacob's arms because Isaac could not see very well. And he said, I think you are Esau, but your voice is Jacob. And he said, come closer. And so he would give him his arm, he touched his arm, and he goes, well, you know, it kind of fooled him. And so he goes, okay, yeah, I feel like Esau. And he said, come closer still. And I think it was to get close to smell him. Because Esau was more of a hunter. But, you know, he was convinced that he was talking to Esau, and so he blessed him with the birthright. And so then Esau comes back from hunting, getting, because he knows his dad likes a stew that he makes. And he goes to his dad, and he asks his dad if he could have the birthright, the blessing for the birthright. And his dad says, well, I thought I already gave it to you, didn't I? And here he gave it to Jacob. And so there you got a rift between Esau and Jacob for many years. We come in on Jacob's life where he is probably with his family. His relatives are somewhere close at hand, but he doesn't really go see them. But it's all about Jacob's family. And that's the beginning of Israel. His 12 sons become the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob's name gets changed to Israel by the Lord as well. And so this is the very beginning of how Israel as a nation begins. And it starts with a lot of dysfunction is what takes place.
Deceit,
So you've got deceit that started with Rebekah, his mom, and Jacob with the garment that he put on his arms to make sure they were hairy. And then Jacob, he gets deceitful by his sons when they get rid of Joseph. What did they bring to Jacob?
His robe.
Coat of many colors.
Yeah, that favorite robe, that wonderful robe that he gave to him and was torn. They killed a goat and put goat's blood on it, and they gave it to their dad, and they said, this is all that's left of Joseph. He must have been killed and eaten up by a ferocious animal. But they didn't tell him the truth. So he's being deceived by his own sons. And so you see that there's just a lot of dishonesty and lying that goes on within this family. We find that Jacob is a very passive dad. And we talked a lot about that when we first started the study. Jacob was a very passive dad. He never really disciplined his kids. He would hear about things, but he never, ever talked to him about it or would try to teach him the right thing to do. And so so what we find with one of his kids, I think of Judah. Judah is one. He loses his wife. He loses his wife. But he had three children with this woman that he married, and she's a Canaanite. So now he married someone outside of what God had set up as rules as, you know, marry within family, but don't go outside to other tribes or other your neighbors or other people. Judah married a Canaanite. He had three children by her, three boys. She dies. And then his sons were to marry his, he had a Tamar. Tamar comes in here. Yeah, Tamar would be his daughter-in-law. So he finds a husband for his daughter-in-law. And that's E-R. How'd you like to have that for a name? What's your name? You know? And they go like, no, really, what it is?
Well, I tried to talk my daughter into naming Monroe a two-letter name because we had Elena, Elise, Isla, and then we needed another vowel. And there was six, five, four, maybe it was three letters. So six letters, five letters, three letters. So what could be A-E-I-O? It could be O, and then three letters.
Oh, boy.
But she didn't go for that.
No.
Thanks, Mom, but no thanks. So, I mean, it just kind of, you watch the kind of the deceit that's going on is that he has these three boys, and then the culture is that the sons are then, and Onan were his two oldest boys. God killed them or let them die because they were evil. They were not good guys. And so the wife of was supposed to then be married to the second son because it's supposed to be children that would come from the sons type of thing. Those two are out. There's a third son. He was too young. He could not marry her, but he said, you have to wait till he gets old enough to be able to have children with him. His wife dies. In the meantime, he goes to another place. And then what does Tamar, is her name? Where is her name? Tamara, what does she do? She's supposed to be a widow in mourning. She takes off her mourning clothes and dresses up like a prostitute because she knows where Judah is going. And she sits along the road as Judah comes back. He does not know it's her. He then lays with her, and then she wants some kind of something from him, of knowing that he will pay her type of thing. He said, well, I'll send you a goat. And she wants more than a goat. So she took his staff and a couple of other articles that he had. She took those with her. And it turns out, as time went on, that she got pregnant by Judah. And so they're going to kill her because they know that she's pregnant. And she has to go face Judah. And Judah says, well, I have to kill you. And she said, well, whose are these things? And here these are Judah's. The man who's made me pregnant is the owner of these things. It's a staff and some other things that she pulls out and says, and of course Judah knows those are his.
He knows where he lost them too.
Yeah, right. And so he never laid with her again. She had twins. She gave birth to twins. Twin boys, Perez and Zerah. And so I'm going like, where's this going? If you go to the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, guess who you see?
Perez.
The lineage, because the Messiah has to come from the lineage of David. Perez, and of course, God chooses one of the two, like he usually does. He chooses Perez as the lineage of where the Messiah will come from. And if you follow that, you'll come up where Ruth is involved in that, and Boaz, and then their children. You know, it's just, I go like, I know these guys got to show up somewhere. And so that's why they say that they believe that the 38th chapter of Genesis is important because it really fills in the place where it deals with the lineage that you find in Matthew. That's where you see him. That's a long story. of one part of one family. So forgive me for saying all that. But I just want to give you a little bit of that background.
What a tangled web.
It is. It is. Yeah. Yes. So let's go to our review questions from last week to see how you do. Who was Dinah's mother?
Leah.
Yes. Dinah, don't you know? Dinah, don't you know? Leah is her mother. And so how many children then did Jacob have altogether?
So he had 13.
That's 13. She's the sister, there's only one girl in the family. Those are 13. 12 boys and one girl, Dinah. And of course, Shechem, who violated her, Dinah, he just loves her and he wants to marry her. But what two things did her brothers hold against Shechem? Now, Shechem is not a Jew. And so the brothers hear of, the brothers know, and so does Jacob know, that he raped her and violated her. And now the boys know this. And what do they think of Shechem? And this is where they get devious. They deceive him. And so one, he had violated Dinah. They knew that. And then also, because he was not a Jew, he was not circumcised. So she was involved with a foreigner who did not have the sign of God's covenant. And so they used that issue of circumcision to Shechem and his father. His father's name is Hamar. And they use deceit. So deceitfully goes in that blank, number 3. And you find that in Genesis 34, chapter 34, verse 13. And so what the boys came up with is saying, okay, you can marry our sister, but all you guys are going to have to be circumcised. They persuaded them to do that, which they did. All these guys, all the males in this place, they got circumcised. And then the third day when they were in so much pain, the rest of the boys, especially two of them, only two of them, Simeon and Levi, went and they killed them all, killed all the guys. When the other brothers found out what they did, well, then they went back to this place and then they looted it. They took all the spoils that were there and they took the women and the children of all these dead guys and claimed them. And so that's the kind of family that Joseph comes from.
Jesus.
And then Jesus, you know, is part of that lineage. You know, all the time I'm thinking, like, some of these guys, like, especially like the people you read about in the Bible, they're just very holy, pure people. And you find out, no, there's issues there too. And it shows that God's grace is greater than all our sin. And do we need grace? Did I say, absolutely we do. But it's nice to know that the Bible doesn't try to cover up that stuff. It just puts it in there. Lets us read it and we see it for ourselves. All right, so number 4, do you see what sin Jacob passed on to his sons? What is that dominant sin that you see being passed on to his sons, Jacob?
Deceit.
Yeah, lying. Being deceitful.
Yeah, lying.
You know, not being truthful. And he was encouraged by his mom. Jacob was encouraged by his mom, Rebecca, to do this. You know, which is also like, why would Rebecca do that? But he was mama's boy. Mama wanted what was best for
her favorite.
Her favorite. And that's why it's really hard on Jacob when he finds out that something happened to Joseph. And he's thinking that Joseph is what?
Dead.
Completely. I mean, he's dead. He's gone. But is he? And the answer is, no, he's not. He has no idea that he's still alive. But he's a long ways from home, as he went with, we'll get to that later. Okay, so...
what was the answer to number three?
Number three would be deceitfully. Oh. You got the D already there. Okay. But they spoke to both Shechem and his dad Hamar deceitfully. They told him, if you guys get circumcised, well then, yeah, you can marry Dinah. And of course, that's not what happened there. All right, so we get into today's lesson here. Number one, we see what happens when a grudge is held within a family.
So what was the answer to five?
Five is Simeon and Levi.
Okay.
Simeon and Levi. There's just two that...
Yeah, they survived.
...that went to tell him to get circumcised. Then the rest came later on to take what was left over.
Okay.
So we see what happens when a grudge is held within a family. Why did the brothers of Joseph hold a grudge against him? Pretty easy.
He was a favorite.
He was a favorite. It goes back to that robe, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And to his dreams. The dreams he would talk to them about. He was always came out smelling like a rose in all the dreams too, and his brothers all had to bow down to him. So it goes back to that multicolored robe or that ornamental robe that he got. That robe meant something, right? Remember what we talked about last week? What did the robe kind of mean? It wasn't just because it was pretty.
Yeah.
It had sleeves. The other ones.
High authority.
Yeah, it was authority. He didn't have to work.
Yeah.
He was a noble, kind of special guy, nobility. And so he really didn't have to work, and we know that Joseph was also, his dad liked him because why? What else would he do when he would go out and be with his brothers?
Spy on
him. Oh, man.
He'd come back and tattle.
Oh, man.
Dad, you won't believe what these guys are talking about or what they did. So how good is that going to fly? It never flew when you were growing up, did it? You tattletale. You ever say that to somebody? You tattletale? Or you heard that in school?
Yeah.
All right, so number two, what was their plan to do with Joseph? A?
Kill him.
Yeah, that was like kill him. This is their plan. B, throw him in a?
Well.
In a well or a cistern. And C?
Yeah, lie
to their father.
Yeah, lie to their father.
Perfect plan.
I thought I heard somebody walk by.
I don't know.
Yeah, somebody did.
It was probably Bob.
Okay.
Boss.
So
it was a woman, I thought.
Oh, well, navy blue jacket or
school. Oh, it could be Amy.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah, so that's their plan. The boys, when they see him coming from a distance, they know here he comes, the dreamer. You know, and they can tell by his coat that he's also wearing the multicolored thing. And so Joseph doesn't know this. That this is their plan, that they're going to do this to him. And so number three, who convinced the brothers to do something different because he wanted to rescue Joseph? Who was the guy that wanted to?
Reuben.
It was one of the brothers.
Yeah, it was Reuben. Reuben is what of the 12 sons?
No.
Reuben is?
The oldest.
He's the oldest. He's the firstborn. And so he's probably feel more responsible as the firstborn. And his thoughts are, okay, I'll let my brothers do what they want to do with him, but I'll make sure they don't kill him. And if they don't kill him, well, then I'll go back and retrieve him. I'll get him out. I'll help him back. I'll take him back to dad. Reuben, I don't know where he was at when he started talking about this, but then somebody else came up with a different idea. Well, first, what did they do to Joseph?
Took off his robe.
Interesting. The very first thing, the thing that they hated the most, get that robe off of him. And you can about imagine, I mean, they didn't just do that, like, okay, hand over your robe, or let me take your robe off for you. I mean, it would have been forcefully kind of done. And then after they took the robe off, what did they do with Joseph?
Put him in a well.
Yeah, they kind of threw him in, you know. It says they threw him. You know, they didn't let him down easy. They just threw him. Now, how deep was this well? Or the cistern? I mean, it's, even if it's 6 feet deep.
Well, he couldn't crawl out.
He couldn't get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good thing it was dry, because it makes mention of that. It was a dry well. It was a dry cistern. And then what did they do after they did that?
They ate.
Yeah. Imagine that. How can you go and sit down and then have a meal, knowing that you've just done this to your little brother?
Well, you know, it's sort of evil, so they were under control of something else.
At least we didn't kill
her. No conscience, yeah.
Yeah, there's no conscience there, is there? So I just, before we go any further, I just want you to know, Reuben, being the firstborn, what did Reuben do later on in life?
Invented a sandwich.
What'd you say, man?
Invented a sandwich. No. Reuben slept with Jacob's concubine, whose name was Bilhah. Or Bilhah. Now, who is Bilhah? That's one of Jacob's concubines. She would be a mother to some of his brothers. So he slept with Bilhah. And Jacob knew this, because he says this in giving the blessing to the boys before he dies. He tells them, I know what you have done. So Reuben didn't get much. And so, again, we see that some of these things that go on in families that are really dysfunctional, and to think Jacob's kids could not have been that dysfunctional, could they? They are. So, okay. So we got, you know, Reuben, and then, of course, Judah is important because that is the tribe in which the Messiah will come from. From the tribe of Judah. He'll be called the Lion of Judah. It's reference to Jesus Christ. He'll come from the tribe of Judah. And so we know what happened to Judah. We went over that with Judah. You know, Judah's when they got his daughter-in-law pregnant. She had twins, and they end up in the first chapter of Matthew. Okay, so it's Judah who comes up saying he's got another idea, because he notices that there's a caravan of whom coming by where they're having lunch or supper or the meal.
Midianites.
Yeah, and I found out that the word Midianite and Ishmaelites are interchangeable. It means the same. They mean the same thing. They're travelers. They're traders. And so they saw that there's caravan of Ishmaelites are coming by, and so he says, I got a great idea. Instead of killing Joseph, how about if we
sell him?
And how much did they pay for Joseph? How many pieces of silver?
20.
Only 20. Jesus got more.
Yeah.
20, what was referenced, that they bought a handicapped slave. A handicapped slave, or a slave that had some issues, they paid a little less for it. And it really comes down to, they thought they got a really good deal of a slave, because they know that they can take him with them to Egypt, and then what?
Resell him.
For a?
Profit.
You know?
Capitalism.
Yeah. So the plan is to sell him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, because they were heading to which country?
Egypt.
Egypt, yeah. That's still quite a ways from there. Number 8. So Joseph is, what's in the blank?
Sold
as a slave, and ends up in
Egypt.
And who buys him in Egypt? Potiphar. Yeah, Potiphar. And who is Potiphar?
A high official.
Yeah, he's a high government official. He's a captain of the guard. You know, one of Pharaoh's official guys. And Pharaoh is the top dog in the land of Egypt. So here you find Potiphar, who buys a slave, and it's Joseph. Now, does his dad know this?
No, he
doesn't, not at all. So how did Jacob handle the news about Joseph?
He tore his clothes.
Did he put on any sackcloth?
Mm-hmm.
And it said he mourned for many days. I mean, so this really, really was very difficult for him, because Joseph was the son of whom? Who was his mom?
Rachel. His mom.
And that was his first love. I mean, he'd always loved Rachel, and here, the firstborn with Rachel, because Rachel was barren for many, many years. But she had Joseph, and then she had the last one, which was Benjamin. And then she died after the birth of Benjamin. So he's just going like, he not only lost Rachel now, he lost the firstborn. So how do you think that makes him feel as the dad? Failure? Another woe is me kind of thing? So that's kind of where we kind of end there today. But number 10, it says, how does deception affect the family? If there's deceiving, lying going on in a family, how does it affect the family as a whole? Does it have an effect?
Well, they seem to accept deceit.
You know, it's kind of...
part of your legacy.
Yeah. It's just... but, you know, it causes a lot of pain.
Yeah.
It'll hurt. And of course, at different times in life, it's gonna rear its ugly head, and it'll come out some way or that way. You know, it really hurts. It really damages relationships in families, and between those in the family. Sometimes hear people who've never talked to one another for how many years, when they find out that hey, there was some deception that was used that had gone on.
It just won't go unpunished, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's always hanging there.
It follows.
Yeah, it follows.
You can work past it, but it's still there.
Yeah. So that's kind of where we end. You know, just thinking of deception, you know. I don't know your guys' backgrounds type of a thing, but I go like, you know, a lot of families deal with that or have that going on. You know, sometimes people don't show up at family gatherings because they, for one reason or another, can be jealousy, can be whatever, you know. But you have all those things tied in with the brothers here with Jacob. A lot of different things. There's probably things we don't know.
That comes from sibling rivalry a lot.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, think of large families and from different moms. I mean, that in itself is... you know, you talk about a blended family. We hear that today, and I'm going like, man, there was a blended family way back in Genesis, and the things that he dealt with there, or the way he was, we see it when it happens today.
But I think God keeps trying to invent the perfect family.
Perfection is...
came Jesus, and then there came forgiveness, and taught us to have one wife. And I think God's trying, but we just keep fighting back and wrecking it.
You know, it's like he destroyed the world once with the flood. To start over, you think people would have wised up, but didn't. And you think of today, I mean, look at all the crud.
As in the days of Noah.
It's like the days of Noah. You know, he'll come again, and it's like that. And I'm going like, are we there? And I'm going like, I thought we were there years ago already.
How could it get worse?
Yeah.
You pick up the...
And it does.
...newspaper, you look at the news, like, is worse.
It just gets
How
worse.
How could it be worse? Right?
But isn't there a saying like two generations don't remember anything from the past? I don't know exactly how to say it, but it's two generations.
Yeah, this is it's a danger to Christianity, even to the Christian faith. It, you know, it could be gone in three generations. You know, if there's not a kind of a revival or something big that happens to keep the faith alive, in three generations, it's because it gets watered down. Every generation gets watered down. And so, I mean, we need the revival. You know, we need the evangelists. We need to hear God's word. You know, there's a lot more to it than just coming to church. It's what you hear and putting it into practice is very important. And that's what Jesus wanted to try to teach those that followed him. You heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But he says, it's not that way anymore. If your enemies who hate you, you are to what?
Love them.
Pray for them.
Pray for them, to love them. I'm going like, wow, that's pretty radical. But that's the Jesus way. It's always radical.
Yeah.
And anyone who wants to follow him or be like him are going to be seen by other people as cuckoo. You know, you're nuts. They're crazy people. They're wackos.
But how can you ever get even with an evil person? There isn't enough evil to make it. Yeah. So pray for them.
Yeah.
And then it's fixed.
And Jesus would say, someone who mistreats you or someone who is evil, what are we to do?
Turn the other cheek.
And we're to love them.
Yeah.
Love them. We're to do good things still to them.
Right.
Because it heaps what on their heads?
Hot coal,
yeah. So
like, sometimes you think, well, okay, that'll do.
Well, take this. I'm going to be nice to you.
But then wait for the coals.
But then you get the motive. You know, if the motive isn't good you're just hurting yourself. So, but anyway, it's just very interesting as we get to know Joseph more. I mean, we're getting a good idea of his background. But now we're going to focus more on Joseph as a person.
Yeah.
And
we haven't talked about Joseph.
No,
so much.
No. And you think, I mean, he has, to me, he's really the Jesus in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
The way that he lives and what he does. And we'll find that out as we go. Because you're going to say like, man, it can't get any worse for this guy, can it? And he goes like, yeah, it can.
Most of my life, I start from here about Joseph. I don't know all this other stuff. I tend to not want to see it.
Yeah. And you skip everything in Revelation except the last two chapters.
Yeah.
Well, let's call it a day here. I'll shut this off.
What is the Bible verse that talks about?